Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, the bonus spin-off podcast where Dad and I answer your questions and sort of just hang out each week to keep you company during the lockdown, really. Now, Dad, you and I had a bit of a weird morning. Now, you don't give anyone any specifics,
no.
But in a nutshell, how was your morning and what did you do?
You know how you said bonus?
Yeah.
Imagine if you pulled that apart and thought about bone us. That'd be weird, wouldn't it?
What?
Well, the thing is, bone...
No, I get it.
Yeah, but I mean, bone is in next week's something's happening too. So it's all very exciting, isn't it?
It's going very well. What Dad's trying to say in his kind of roundabout way is that today was day 5 of the recording of the Electric Blue audiobook for Penguin. And what's happened is, of course, I thought it might be nice to get Dad into the studio to have a cheeky cameo on the audiobook. So it was Dad and I on Zoom in 2 different sound stages doing a live thing from Sydney and Melbourne. So if you pre-order the... Oh, shit, I don't want to bury the lead, Dad, but the Electric Blue audiobook is up for pre-order right now on Booktopia. So if you want to support us but you're waiting for an audiobook, now you know that Dad cameos on it. So go across and grab it at Booktopia. It's actually probably the best place to get it right now. But yeah, Dad and I were in the studio. Did you enjoy doing it, Dad?
I was in the studio in Sydney. You were in Melbourne. And we're talking mega professional studios. Like, incredible. It was like sort of being in a radio station.
It was great, wasn't it?
The thing that really came home... resonated with me. I was only in there for 3 hours and that was intense. So yeah, I was in the studio only for 3 hours today, and then I thought about you being in the studio all week.
25
and
hours.
Reading your entire book. Am I allowed to say?
No.
Say how many pages. I'll just say that it's bloody thick.
It's longer than the last one. It's about 100 pages longer than the last
one. And aren't the technical people so... technical.
Our engineers were amazing, yeah.
Incredible.
And we just had such a good time. It was so nice. Last time when Dad did the intro for Loose Units, the audiobook, which again, if you haven't heard, give it a listen. Dad came in and did an intro for it, but we didn't get to see each other, so we could only hear each other. But because of this COVID era Zoom fest that's happening, we were watching each other live the entire time. And if you want to head across to our Facebook page, you can see a photo of us recording the audiobook. So,
because we've been involved in this whole process for so long.
Years, yeah.
When I came out of the studio around 1 o'clock today, which for the listeners, we need to explain that that's the reason this podcast is going...
Late.
I think it's the first time it's ever happened, but with good reason. But when I came out of the studio and spoke to the staff that had been attentively enthralled... by what happened today. And it was a bit of a... I haven't told you this, Paul, because I haven't spoken to you since we were in the studio together. But when I came out and spoke to the staff concerned, you know, the engineers, the technical people, they were enthralled and they were buzzing and they were saying what an incredible experience they'd all had, and they loved every second of it.
Oh, that's nice. Everyone was just so happy to work with us and so obliging, and everyone there seemed to really enjoy the book. So, yeah, I guess now that it's up for pre-order on audiobook, you have no excuse if you haven't already grabbed your copy and want to have a listen, you know, the day it comes out. Head across to Booktopia. I think it's going to be a real
journey. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Dad, I actually have a bunch of really fantastic questions from listeners, if you'd like to dive in.
I'd love to.
Okay, first of all, on Sunday, it's Jolie Moncrief's birthday, and her friend Bonnie reached out and ask that we do something special. Now, in the past, Jolie has designed, well, she did that amazing From Us, All the Breakfast cross stitch for us. And Dad, she has a special birthday request for you. So this will be your present to her. Okay.
Yep.
She wants you to say vagina. I should remind you, it's impolite to say no to the birthday girl.
She wants me to say what?
She wants you to say vagina, a word that I had no problem saying, but that you tactfully avoided a few episodes ago.
Fanny.
No, vagina.
Remember with Austin Powers?
Vagina.
One of the actors' names was Lotta Vagina.
Say the word by itself.
Vagina. It's a weird word, isn't it?
Not really. I mean,
I don't have any problem saying vagina mite.
Well, that's not a real thing. All right, well, Jolie, I hope you enjoy your birthday, and I hope that dreadful acoustic, you know, tidbit has provided you with everything you need. And I want to kind of segue pretty aggressively towards something. We just finished a two-parter on bullying and suicide in the emergency services, and we have had, Dad, I think you'll agree, an absolute deluge of amazing, amazing correspondence.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, a lot of you have been reaching out with really heartbreaking stories after the two-parter. If you haven't heard them, go back and listen. But what we wanted to do was tell you that if you're struggling and you want to talk to somebody, one really great organization that we discovered over the past few weeks was Stand By Support, and you can head across to standbysupport.com.au for more info. But without further ado, let's launch into these questions, Dad.
Fantastic.
This one's from Maddie. Hi, John and Paul. I've been listening to you guys since the start and absolutely love the podcast. I'm a volunteer for SES Victoria. I just want to clarify, and I'm not sure what the jurisdictions are for NSW, that in Victoria, SES has jurisdiction for road crash rescues for a large portion of the state. The stations are entirely volunteer-run with no paid members. We also provide assistance at crime scenes for VicPol for lighting and evidence recovery, and also help with corpse recovery for train suicides or a body in a difficult position. Jesus Christ. We do storm damage, trees down causing traffic hazards, flooding, and land search and rescue. Just recently, a drone stuck in a tree and a cockatoo stuck in a mat. Unfortunately, what we do isn't widely known, and we are a lot less funded than Fire Rescue Victoria, previously MFB and CFA, and often forgotten as an emergency service. Hoping to educate about the amazing work that Vic SES volunteers do. And then edit, sorry, we also help the fireys out of bushfire season with helping to set up base camps, manage resources, and comms. That is incredible.
Phenomenal. Maddie. Incredible. Wow. Golly. Well, I know that in the big bushfires in Sydney when I was in the fire brigade, the SES, they used to put on and look after our well-being and our sustenance and set up fantastic camps and, you know, places where we could go and sort of get some R&R, then go back on into the fire ground. But in, I guess the major thing where SES are involved in Sydney, and I'm happy to be corrected, but I know that at night time when the wind is howling and it's a big, big storm, the SES are out there in Sydney. They're working their rings out and they've got lots and lots of really good equipment on board. They're well trained. Perhaps in the country in New South Wales, I think it would have a lot to do with, you know, who gets to the job first. If it's a motor vehicle accident, like a head-on in a remote area when you've got a lot of the emergency service personnel in these far-flung outreaches are based on volunteers.
Right.
And they're people in the town that, you know, during the day they do, you know, they do whatever. They might work in a news agency, a bank. You know, they could be a greenkeeper. They could work on the roads. They could be, there are so many different, you know, they could be the local real estate agent. And then all of a sudden they get the call. And They don their uniforms and out they go. And to think that it's I mean, the whole spirit of being a volunteer in this country is it's a very, very long tradition. But I believe that governments should fund them in terms of at least give them the very, very best equipment available in the world.
Yeah.
Because they're getting their service virtually nothing. You know, I guess if you cross over into that paid environment, you then become a professional, you know, operator.
Yeah.
And then you're entitled to, you know, a salary with all the benefits. But I guess also you've got to consider that in incredibly remote areas, you know, from a job perspective in terms of manpower versus the incidence of being called out to a particular job, I mean, I guess governments and councils weigh up the the cost analysis of having people in a permanent role on standby. Like, it can be done in the city because there's the volume of work.
Mm.
But if you're living in a tiny, tiny little town, well, having said that, you do have ambulance stations in far-flung, very remote towns because it's all about response time. And if you don't have that great response time, it's going to have sometimes dire, end results.
Yeah.
So, but look, it's an incredible and admirable... I guess every state's got some form of SES, but you've also got, Sea Rescue, which is a massive thing. Yeah, it's incredible.
Would you encourage people who are listening to volunteer for any of these services if they're feeling up to it?
Without a doubt. Mm. Without a doubt, Paul. I mean, even life-saving. There are so many wonderful organisations where you can volunteer. And volunteering gives you a tremendous sense of purpose. You know, we've got this church up the end of our street here, and I know a few people at work because they feed the homeless every night.
Right.
And I know quite a few professional people and some well-known Australian actors, and they give up some of their time to just go and it's always good. Look, I think it's a two-way street helping people. It's undeniably very effective and very important. It's a very important role in our society, but it also does give back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
I used to work for a group that used to feed. I used to feed the homeless people here in Sydney one night a week. And when we were living on the northern beaches, I'd drive into the city. And the one thing we were taught, the golden rule, when we were dealing with, the people that we were feeding, was never ever be judgmental. Don't ever look at them and think. Because I know for a fact that we used to get backpackers in the queue.
Right.
And, inside, like deep down, I used to get the shits.
Because
I thought, this is not right. Like, these are people that can afford to eat out or shop, but we were taught never ever to judge. And I think that's a pretty good rule to adhere to.
Okay, well, let me go on to this other question. This is from Rel. Hi, John and Paul. Just wondering how you found the mental health system. As an ex-cop, I've been to too many suicides and many attempts, some which we truly believed intended to take their life. We could only schedule the person to the local mental health unit, but 99% of the time, they'd be released within hours. Did you ever find yourself attending a suicide after having been to that person's suicide attempt? Well done with the sensitive topics. I know of several police who took their lives on duty, and also when they've been medically discharged due to lack of support. Cheers.
Terrible. I remember we had a young Vietnamese refugee in North Sydney, and he had a terrible, terrible nervous breakdown. What I haven't told you, Paul, because I saved it, because I didn't really want to talk about it. You know, I do talk about these topics, and the listeners will recall how we eventually got him back to... we scheduled him and we got him to a psychiatric institution in Ryde. It used to be called the North Ryde Mental Association. The listeners will perhaps recall when we used to go there and the patients, we had to take our guns off, and the patients would always just come up and just sort of want to hug us, and they just felt, I don't know what it was about the police uniform, but they just felt safe. And this particular guy, we put him in, and what I didn't say is that a few weeks later he jumped off the Harbour Bridge. And he'd probably had other attempts. And that was a case where we felt that he should stay in and receive some long-term serious treatment. Right. And they deemed fit that he... I mean, they can't keep everyone in there forever, obviously. And he was released. And then I found out that he'd succeeded and passed away.
In relation to Rel's question, overall, how did you find the mental health system?
It's probably one of the most delicate and sensitive topics there is. And, you know, I always tread a very fine line, a fine path. I try and be sensitive, but also accepting and understanding of, and try and see both sides. But the general consensus back in the 80s when I was in the New South Wales Police Force that... it was a flawed system.
Okay.
And it was a, you know, it's a tough, but mental health, boy, oh boy. I mean, you see examples of people on the street that just, and we all know that it's a very fine line between being okay and then something happens in your life.
Yeah.
And everything comes tumbling down. It can be a sort of a series or succession of incidents, like one bad thing, then another and another. And then all of a sudden you just go, and you don't sort of, I mean, a friend of ours, Paul, a family friend that you know very well, the loveliest guy, he, one morning, he woke up and he couldn't get out of bed. He'd had a nervous breakdown.
Right.
And there was no real, there were no indicators, no warnings. And he just woke up one day and that was it. He couldn't cope. It had been a series or a succession of incidents chipping away. And then at some point, your mind just goes, you know what? I can't cope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that time I went into shock.
Yep.
I had no warning.
Mm.
And that's looked at, and you know, we're watching a series on Netflix called, I think it's called Lenox Hill. It's about a neurological hospital in New York. And you see these people come in and, you know, they've got a fairly positive prognosis. And then the poor surgeon, we were watching it last night, and the surgeon, he broke down. He started crying. He was so upset because you get to know the patients over a long period.
Mm.
And imagine delivering that bit of news that you've got an inoperable cancer, and how many people that affects. You know, that's the thing about emergency services and all these types of jobs is that, you know, you have to cope. You've got to go to work. You've got to do what you do. You've got to see what you see. You've got to try and not bring it home with you.
Yeah.
You have to learn if you can. And if you can't cope, and if things really, really get to you and you become affected and not able to do the job properly and to the best of, and to help people, and you start losing it, you need people and employers and friends and family to be able to recognize the signs and say, look, you know what, you need some time out.
Mm.
And it's possible that the vocation or the occupation you've chosen, no matter how much you love it, it just might not be suitable. And isn't it terrible to think that these soldiers, when they come back from war zones, and they then leave the military service, they've seen things that are terrible, and that's perhaps why a lot of people that have gone to war don't talk about these things. They keep them bottled up. You know, then they're sort of unleashed into society and expected to just carry on, you know, regardless.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable.
I think that's been why it's so interesting working with you and hearing these stories and sort of seeing that, you know, there is something good to come out of talking about it, but not everyone can. So I guess, you know, it's really important to try.
And can I just share something with you, Paul, and all the listeners? I'm going to be very delicate and quite succinct. I caught an Uber, which I haven't done in many, many months because of the current situation.
Yeah.
But today I lashed out and caught an Uber from where we live to the studio. The Uber driver picked me up. He is an ex-New South Wales police officer. He's telling me this story. He also went to an armed robbery close by to where we live, and it was in a service station, and one of the offenders dropped his gun and went to the Bowser, covered himself in petrol, and the last thing this police officer that was driving me today, who's, look, he was reliving it as he was driving me, and it was really intense. And he said to me the last thing he remembered was the white Bic lighter as the guy lit himself in front of him. So he had that totally horrific thing happen. And he just started to tell me a few of these stories. And he was a fascinating guy. And there's, I mean, isn't that weird, Paul, that I'm heading over to do this thing with you this morning, and that is the Uber driver.
Did you ask him if he could tell those stories?
Yeah, I actually said to him, do you mind if I mention it? And he said, fine, but incredible. But isn't that just amazing?
I got one last question. This is from Viv. Hey, I have a question for John. Today, a motorbike cop walked into our servo, and when we asked him to remove his helmet, he said, no, it's PPE. Was he just being a dick? What does PPE stand for?
Personal protective equipment. I think it's a ballsy thing to say to a highway patrol officer, can you take your helmet off? That's just me. And I know that, look, it opens up a can of worms, that whole thing, doesn't it? Yeah. Look, I mean, if he was getting the bus home, would he still wear the helmet on the bus?
Yeah.
Don't think so.
But I thought if he got off the bike or out of the car, sorry, if he's wearing a helmet, he's on the bike. If you're off the bike, why would you walk around wearing the helmet? Isn't that?
Okay. Look, back in the 1980s, when the highway patrol cyclists pulled you over,
yep,
they always had a soft leather, like a Gestapo-looking hat inside their pannier. So they would take their helmet off,
yep,
and they would put the cap on, mm-hmm, which in my opinion was equally or more intimidating. And then they would approach the driver, mm-hmm, to ask them for their driver's license. So the helmet thing's interesting. When I was in the police force, there were police officers that were actually hauled before internal affairs, yeah, get ready for this, for not taking their glasses off when they were talking to people.
Wow.
So, look, you know, it depends on how far you want to go with this. I mean, I'm of the view that policing's a very tough job, and the Highway Patrol have already got a bit of a handicap in terms of they are probably more disliked than general duties police.
Right.
And that's not really fair when you consider that Highway Patrol police are pulling people over, God knows how many per day. Mm-hmm. But it's all in the way you deal with the public. I was driving along Manly Beach 2 mornings ago,
yep,
and the Highway Patrol, there's a 40 km/h speed limit on Manly Beach. Mm-hmm. And the Highway Patrol had pulled over a driver. And as I'm driving past, I looked and I recognised the driver, and he is a current serving New South Wales firefighter. He's actually an officer.
Yeah.
And I was looking at him, and I was looking at his face, and I was trying to imagine the conversation between him and the Highway Patrol officer. Mm. Now, historically, more than nine times out of ten, it doesn't matter what your excuse is. When I was in the police force, if you pulled over a fiery or an AMBO, or dare I say it, even in someone in the military, Army, Navy, Air Force.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you'd never book them.
Right.
But that's totally changed now.
Yeah, you pointed this out on the show before. It was a very interesting point, actually. Yeah.
And I got pulled over a few years ago. I was talking on my mobile phone in Manly. This is a classic. And there were three police that pulled me over, and the female probationary constable, she was really sweet, and I was crapping on about how I've been in the police force, and I'm really going hard because I'm desperate not to get a ticket.
Sure.
And she didn't give me a ticket.
Huh.
And a few weeks later, I got a ticket in the mail. And I know exactly what happened.
What?
The other police would have thought, we'll let this guy, this ex-policeman, crap on. We'll let him think that he's not going to get a ticket.
Tire himself out.
And I'm talking at, you know, our chat.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of going, oh, please, will you just
let us
go?
Yeah.
And they said, okay, see you later. And I was really happy. I thought it's a win for bullshit.
God,
sure enough, I got the ticket and there's nothing I could do. I mean, I'd done the wrong thing. And
that's very funny. That makes me very happy. Look, we've got to wrap up soon, but next Monday, we have something fairly big kicking off. It's season 4 of Loose Units, the podcast. It's called Dead Serious. And if you don't already know what it is, Dad and Mum basically ran a funeral home in the 90s. And if you pick up Electric Blue, you'll hear a few cases from that period. But basically on Monday, you know, the fire brigade and the police are done. And occasionally that stuff will come up during Loose Ends at the end of every week. Those things will sort of drip feed through. But for season 4 is funeral home. It is Dad's time running a funeral home. And Dad, is it safe to say that it's pretty intense stuff?
Yeah, it's there are some absolutely quite unbelievable stories.
Yeah.
And there'll be pathos, humour, sadness, all the emotions will be experienced. And for the listeners, it's a taboo topic, anything to do with death.
Yeah.
Not taboo as in I can't talk about it, but it's taboo in so far as it's one thing that people actually... And why should you think about death? I mean, but look, we'll save it for next week. Otherwise, yeah. I'll go down the rabbit hole right now because it's such an incredible topic.
But we record every Monday, so next Monday you and I will be having a pretty intense chat to kick off season 4 of Loose Units. Thank you so, so, so much, everyone, for listening to the show. Thank you for pre-ordering the book. And like I said up the front, if you haven't already and you're into audiobooks, not physical books, that's totally fine. Because Dad's cameoing on Electric Blue, the audiobook, and you can get it right now. You can pre-order it right now at Booktopia. And I guess we'll see you on Tuesday for the beginning of season 4 of Loose Units, the podcast. Dad?
Yes?
You want to say goodbye?
Goodbye. Paul also, you know how you sent the an email over last night and it had the file of the entire book?
Yep.
And I, obviously I didn't want to sort of look too much, but I just looked at the names and how many chapters there are.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting. The titles of every chapter, I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
To just go headfirst into it. Look, it's just... bloody Laura, it's so exciting.
Bloody Laura.
And on that note...
Bye.
Are we going now?
Yeah, I said goodbye before. Were you not listening?
Oh, are you still recording?
I ended the episode. Yeah, we're done.
Great.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.